Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
A lot of levels of incompetence in the Giants' loss yesterday, but we'll take it to the very end as Doug Peterson calls for the 61-yard field goal attempt to win it.
Elliott, 61-yard attempt to win the game. Snap is good. Kick on its way. Will it get there? Good! Jake Elliott from 61 yards out, and the Eagles win it.
That's Bob Papa on WCBS 880. Yeah, exactly.
That would have been unbelievable had it been short, and Odell Beckham Jr. could have returned
That's
it.
That's what we were waiting for.
Yes.
We were kind of hoping for it.
Because I was going to say, remember, when the field goal team is on the field, who's on the field covering those kicks if, in fact, that ball is short? A bunch of fat guys that can't run, and there's no way in the world they could keep up with Odell Beckham Jr.
And good for Bob Papa for calling that thing with a little bit of excitement, because generally you get these homer broadcasts or something like that happens, and
good.
Yeah, they're good. So Bob Papa actually being a pro there, and we knew he would be.
Now, Elliott also had the game-tying 46-yard field goal with 51 seconds to go, and you figure, how in the world did he actually have a game-winning attempt? Well, because a comedy of errors for the Giants led them to that, including a 28-yard shank punt by Brad Wing. Carson Wentz throws for just 176 yards and one touchdown, and yet they win. The Giants had no running game to speak of, while Philadelphia ran the ball for a lot.
That's why they won, because they ran the ball.
Sure did.
And I know that in Philadelphia, they were getting ticked off after their loss to Kansas City, saying that they didn't try to run the ball enough, and they put the game totally in Carson Wentz's hands. But yesterday, and unfortunately for a defense, the real measure of a defense is your run defense. And the Giants got run over yesterday. That was an embarrassing performance by that Giant defense.
So I ask you this, because a couple of years ago, Tom Coughlin was run out of this town for having a lack of discipline on the team, for not being able to handle end-of-half situations. Looked a lot like that yesterday, including, star receiver doing a dog going to the bathroom motion after he scored a touchdown in a game that he was still losing. So Ben McAdoo was asked after the game, does the team have a discipline problem?
I mean, we don't want to be kicking off from the 20-yard line. That's not smart football. That's part of our problem right now. We're not playing smart enough
and
football.
And here's the problem with Ben McAdoo with me from last week, Boomer. He had no problem calling out Eli Manning last week, right? Quarterback, sloppy play.
Right.
He had every opportunity to call out Beckham as he was asked this question and gave you nothing.
With regard to the Odell celebration, it looked like he pretended to be a dog going to the bathroom on the field. What is your reaction to the other coach and your players doing that?
Next question.
Well, that we have nothing to say.
All right, well, here's the deal. You know, after what happened with Evan Engram Monday night against the Detroit Lions and everybody making a big deal out of him grabbing his crotch and then obviously kicking off from the 20-yard line and everything else that went along with that last week, you would think that the brainiacs over there playing wide receiver for the New York Giants would understand that you have to watch your post-touchdown celebrations as to not draw a flag. What makes this whole thing worse, not only the vile act itself, but
stupidity?
He doesn't care. It's
the situation.
Not even, right? It's not even stupidity.
They
I
asked
agree.
Him after the game, what about this?
I was in the end zone. I scored a touchdown. I'm a dog, so I acted like a dog.
Great. I'm sure Nike loves that. Maybe they come out with new shoes called The Dog. but the point being is that he even said after the game that he feels no remorse towards hurting his team.
Right. Does not care. He says he's going to do it again. This is what he does. When he gets in the end zone, he's going to celebrate, and that's what he does.
And that would bother me as a Giant fan. That would really bother me because that hurts the team, and it's all about him. And I don't know if you saw him after that first touchdown on the sideline.
Okay,
looked like he was taking a syringe and shooting some sort of drug in his arm or something. I have no idea what he's doing.
Best part of that was that the Eagle fans there that were sitting there did not care. They were just like yawning and eating stuff, and he's going nuts screaming to people that didn't even pay attention
to him. And you know who else didn't care? His teammates.
Right.
There's none of his teammates are around him.
This is why there are some semblance of Giant fans that say, trade him now while the value is high. There are a lot of fans out there that will say that. As good as he is and as a game-breaking player he is, I can tell you, I don't live with, but my brother and my dad, they're two right there.
I would just tell you, foolish. His actions and his comments are foolish, and there's no other way to look at it. And I would tell you that, yes, if Ben McAdoo does not get a hold of this, it's not going to go well for Ben McAdoo.
Here's Eli. He knows that 0-3 need to get a win.
That's the mindset. And, you know, got to go on the road again next week into Tampa. And that's all we can worry about. Get that first win.
Now, we'll get to all the protest stuff in a little bit. Just doing the football first. Giants, and by the way, they also had the ball for 22 minutes to the Eagles, 38 yesterday, part of that running game. In terms of the Jets, surprise, surprise, they not only beat the Dolphins, they drilled them.
Play clock is down to one. McCown gets it off. He's throwing long on the near side for Anderson. He's got it! Into the open field! Touchdown, Jets! No flags!
And it's Tom McCarthy on CBS.
Great throw.
Yeah,
great
made
throw.
It 10-0.
Perfectly. And you see how Robbie Anderson has to extend to go get it. He does not stop it. Stride
never broke stride,
or anything.
Yep.
Just an absolutely perfect throw and perfect execution by the New York Jets.
And here was Jamal Adams on SNY. Team was mentally prepared.
It's a mindset. We came out here with a mindset that, you know, we're going to come out here and do what we're supposed to do. You know, we wanted to make a statement.
And how about the defense? 3 sacks, 9 tackles behind the line of scrimmage. They held Jay Ajayi to 16 yards.
It's an awesome
exactly.
performance.
Well,
it's
this
an
is
awesome
what we,
performance.
Right. This is what you were looking for. Here is Todd Bowles. Defense great.
Everybody was where they're supposed to be. We didn't leave no open gaps. We gang tackled instead of tackled with a single person. And, you know, we got after it and everybody communicated.
And they came one play short of a shutout as Miami scored in the final play of the game. Jets 1-2, home for the Jaguars next week. Some of the stuff around the league. I know you're huge on the Raiders.
Yes.
Last night, they got steamrolled by the Redskins.
From the 49, Cousins play action. Looks left, throws right, looking deep down the right sideline for Doxson. A jump ball. Doxson takes it away and walks in for the touchdown. One-on-one with David Amerson. Josh Doxson leaping up, pulling it in, and walking in for the touchdown.
Kevin Kugler, Westwood 1 on the fan. Washington winning 27-10. And listen to these stats. You had Kirk Cousins throw for 365 and 3 touchdowns. Derek Carr was held to 118, picked off twice, sacked 4 times. Then you had the Packers beat the Bengals in overtime, 27-24. Mason Crosby, the game-winning field goal after the pass play, Aaron Rodgers to Geronimo Allison down the sideline. Falcons hold off the Lions. I need help with this one. 30-26 was the final. Now, it looks like Matthew Stafford hits Golden Tate for a touchdown. There's 8 seconds left. After a review, they decide knee is down. Why do you get a 10-second runoff
no
with a review?
Out. Because they don't have any timeouts left,
I understand.
And plus the clock would be running. So the interesting thing is—
Couldn't they theoretically get up there quickly and
right.
snap the ball?
No, not within
not
8 seconds.
Not 8 seconds?
But, you know, the interesting thing is, let's say they did not call that a touchdown.
Right.
All right, let's say they did not call
Correct.
A touchdown. They would have called for a review. Mm-hmm. That's how close it was. And the same thing would have happened. In other words, they would have found that it was not a touchdown. And they would have said 10-second runoff.
But don't you have
no timeouts and the clock was
okay.
running.
Don't you have to give the team at least an opportunity to get up to the line of scrimmage?
It's unfair to the Falcons, though, at that
right,
point.
Right, but
because you're giving them an extra play when the clock would have been running at that point.
No, you're missing my point. I'm saying if you rule it down, I see what you're saying. You got to just rule it down, and then you would have the review. Well, why would there be a review if it's not ruled a touchdown? It's technically not scoring play.
Because it's very close, and the booth could initiate a review under
it's
2 minutes.
It's a flaw in the system, then.
It is kind of a flaw in the system, but everybody knows the rules.
To me, the bigger issue is how do you overturn that? It was ruled a touchdown on the field. Was there definitive evidence to say that it wasn't? Because it looked like to me that Golden Tate was in the end zone.
Left knee touches. In real time, it does. But everybody knows the rule. And by the way, you want to talk about a classy coach? You want to talk about a coach that just got a contract extension? Jim Caldwell of the Detroit Lions basically said that's the rule. They ruled it correctly. We lost the game. It was a great, and by the way, that was a great game. That was an absolutely great game. A terrific finish. Both quarterbacks with Matt Ryan threw 3 interceptions, had 1 return for a touchdown. But again, Matthew Stafford gives his team a chance to win. This team gives up 30 points. He gives his team a chance to win.
And speaking of that, the Patriots are down a couple of points late. They get a stop on defense, and then they give Tom Brady the ball. They get a couple of big, long third and long conversions, and then finally they figure it out.
From the Texan 25, Tom off the snap. Drops back. He pumps. He throws it left. He's looking for Cooks in the end zone. It's caught.
Is he in?
It's a touchdown! Patriots!
Now, how come when he falls to the ground, the ball moves a little bit? Why is that not an incomplete pass?
That's right. And what happened with Sterling Shepard yesterday, the first one where he was kept out of the end zone, I get it. That was right.
The second one is
this is where the problem arises for fans. Because it's clear that he has total possession of the ball in the end zone,
has to go all the way through,
even all the way to the ground. And if the ball gets knocked out by the ground, it's going to be an incomplete pass. I hate that rule. It is a rule. It's a definitive rule. I hate it because I believe that once you have possession of that football, both feet are in, as you're falling, you're still holding on to the ball. Whatever happens outside of the field of play should not matter.
And it's contradictory, too, because if you're a running back, all you have to do is get over the plane, boom, football, you could knock it out at that point. It doesn't matter. It's a touchdown.
Right. As soon as it breaks the plane, it's a touchdown.
But these guys have to go out of bounds, fall to the ground, and still have control of the football?
So, like, let's just say Sterling Shepard in some way is juggling the ball, and his feet now are up off the ground, and he's out of bounds, then I can understand no touchdown. But if he clearly has possession of the ball, this goes back to the Calvin Johnson rule about 6 years ago. We all know this, and I hate this rule. I'm an offensive player. I want touchdowns. I want to see players making plays. I saw Sterling Shepard the first time. He was kept out of the end zone. I get it. The ball never broke the plane of the goal line. The second one, that rule sucks.
And I agree.
In my eyes, that should be a touchdown. But the NFL and the players and the coaches all know that was ruled correctly. I just don't like the rule.
Well, the Patriot call Bob Soeki on Patriots Radio. Just quickly, too, the Bears did beat the Steelers in overtime 23-17. Jordan Howard, the game-winning 19-yard touchdown run there. And one other late game, Chiefs beat the Chargers 24-10. Kareem Hunt, buck 72
again,
on the ground.
Okay.
And a 69-yard touchdown run. Oh, also, the Bills beat the Broncos. Von Miller takes a horrendous unsportsmanlike
conduct
penalty.
I don't like that penalty. So he hits Tyrod Taylor.
Right.
He goes to lift, give him the hand to give him up, and then Tyrod goes to grab it, he pulls his hand
maybe
back.
Maybe not.
And they're both smiling.
And there was
they're
a third down play, too.
Yeah. I know, and they're both laughing at each other.
Yeah.
And the referee throws the flag, taunting on Von Miller. That third down play now gets put into a first down. The Bills keep the ball, and then they go on to kick a field goal. And essentially
game
extend
over.
Their lead, and the game is over.
I thought that everything was supposed to be loosened up this year at the NFL. Maybe not so much with the taunting penalties, but the celebrations, and then stuff like this is still being called. I mean, I did that.
Well, let me ask you a question. You're not going to throw the flag on Odell Beckham Jr. when he makes like a dog?
I mean,
that's totally different,
though, than the not taking your hand away and not pulling a guy up on the ground.
They're trying to take it out of the referee's decision-making process as to determine what is going on here. And that's one of the reasons why I believe they did loosen up the rules. But it's obvious that they are still paying very close attention to what is being said on the field, the actions of the players on the field. And if they feel like, maybe this is the wrong call in this regard, but if they feel like there's a interaction between players that is inappropriate or unsportsmanlike, they're going to throw the flag.
All right, tonight we've got the Cardinals and Cowboys. Westwood One's coverage on The Fan at 8 p.m. Next hour, we'll do more of the protest sound. I'll get to some of it, actually. And I'll just quickly tell you that the Yankees did lose to the Blue Jays 9-5, but you did have Aaron Judge hitting two more home runs. He's got 48 now, so he is one behind Mark McGwire of that rookie record. Today, the Yankees play the Royals makeup game at the stadium. Coverage at 12:25. They start the week 5 behind Boston in the AL East. Red Sox, as we expected, just ran right through Cincinnati. They had a couple of come-from-behind wins, including yesterday, but they've won 6 straight and 14 of 17 as they've grabbed hold of the division. Red Sox wound up winning 5-4 yesterday. Nationals clipped the Mets 3-2. Nobody cares. Bulls and Dwayne Wade agree to a buyout. Wade to become a free agent. And Xander Schauffele wins the Tour Championship. But Justin Thomas actually won the FedEx Cup and the $10 million. There you go.
Okay, good for him. All right.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.